Welcome home, neighbors. This is Lauren from California, owner at Copper Creek, and you're listening to My DVC Points.
Parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed, your fast passes are booked, pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 134 of the My DVC Points podcast. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at DVCRentalStore.com. The due statements just hit. If you'd like to put some cash in your pocket and maybe try to offset some of those dues, now might be a great time to come back in and see if you can use them to rent out some of your points. Or better yet, if you're running short on points, head on over to their confirmed reservations. We're seeing deals as low as $10 a point. DVCRentalStore.com. Let them know you heard about them here on the My DVC Points podcast. In today's show, we've got a really great episode. It's probably been recorded and sitting in the back of my queue for, I don't know, at least 2 months now, as we've been waiting for the ideal time to tell you Sam's story. If you're a part of the MyDVC Points community group, Sam is actively at Alani right now, and he's posting photos there that'll just take your breath away. We're looking forward to having him on a live show to do a trip report on this Copper Creek Cabins and three-bedroom Grand Villa stay, where he blew out a bunch of these excess points from the COVID era. Let's get on with the show. I'd like to welcome to the show Sam Chapman. How are you doing today, Sam?
Great. Great to be here, Chad.
So, Sam, how long have you been a DVC member, and where's your home resorts?
We have been DVC members, my wife and I, Pamela, since 2015. And because that's what they were selling at the time, mostly, but we did love the resort as well. We are original Grand Floridian owners.
Okay.
And some Adonitis came later. I'm not sure if we want to talk about that now.
Go ahead.
With Adonitis, we actually added some more points at the Grand Floridian. And then a couple of years later, let's say 2018, late, added on a couple of contracts at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Ooh.
So ultimately, we own at two resorts.
Okay. So Grand Flow, Animal Kingdom. Grand Flow was what they were selling at the time when you bought in. But you added on more points. So do you love it at the Grand Flow? Is that like a emotional home for you? Or
it is. We do love it. I'd like it to be an emotional home. I absolutely know we love it. And it was a Grand Floridian trip that tipped the seesaw decisively towards DVC. And so when we actually found out they were selling Grand Floridian contracts, if you will, the romance of that, I think also was frankly a hook for that initial DVC purchase. But that being said, our first trip as DVC owners to the Grand Floridian, we haven't actually, in 5 years since owning, been back to the Grand Floridian, but that will change this December when we make our way back to the same room type that we started the adventure in 5 years ago at the Grand Floridian.
Okay. Now, what room was that?
It was a two-bedroom Lakeview.
Ooh, nice.
And I think what happened there was, and we have a large family, Chad, so at the time we bought DVC, we had family of seven. So my wife and I, Pamela, and five kids bought Grand Floridian. And let's say we closed, or I'm believing around March 1st. And so our guide's like, you want to go now. So let's look for rooms. And about the only availability at that point for the summer when we needed to go was an August two-bedroom villa with Lakeview at the Grand Floridian. So he booked that for us. And so Grand Floridian is a brand new resort. And it was love at first sight. It was just an amazing room. An amazing first DVC experience overlooking the lake. And yeah, that was a great introduction. It seems like we've never had the points again to get back there because we became so greedy and wanted to, you know, spread out the points. But finally, we had a little bit of foresight. And in January of last year, I said, this is a year for incredible Disney Christmas trip, first time ever. And so we booked a long Christmas time trip, and then COVID has hit. So I've had to come to terms with the fact that it might be somewhat diminished from a park experience standpoint, but we are still intent on going and look forward to this Christmas at Disney.
Yeah, I hear that a lot from Grand Flow owners. The point charts are just so pricey there that a lot of Grand Flow owners will book their home resort just so that they have something, but maybe they don't have enough to book their whole entire trip. And then at 7 months, they shift into something a little more economical on the point charts.
Yes. And that was definitely the case for us. I remember that first trip. I actually, having a large family, I had my eye on a 2-bedroom from the get-go. And I actually said, how much would it be if we wanted a vacation every 1 or 2 years at Bay Lake Tower in a 2-bedroom? Because I had my eye on the monorail. And so we bought with that in mind. And then that first trip at the Grand Floridian was more, of course, than Bay Lake Tower. So we, from the very get-go, were in a borrowing points from next use year situation. And I think it was probably a strategic move by our DVC rep to get us locked into Adonitis quick. Having us overspend our budget from the get-go. And we can talk about it more, but yeah, it proved a successful strategy on his part.
Okay, so how long was it before you added on your first add-on?
So the first add-on, I think, it was within a year and a half. It was definitely within the first 2 years. And it was basically, frankly, a direct result of that first trip to the highest 2-bedroom, other than talk cabins and talk bungalows, the most expensive 2-bedroom I think that DVC has from a point charge perspective. We absolutely loved it. I'm like, what would it take to, instead of calibrating our points based on Bay Lake Tower, calibrate based on
a 1 or 2 year Lakeview.
And so we bought precisely that number of points. And I remember it in my head. I mean, we don't really talk points here, but that's what we added on to. So when we went to, and by the way, Chad, these first Grand Floridian contracts were all direct. I really don't think, in fact, I didn't really know about the resale market as I should have back then. I might have seen it, but in error, I would say in retrospect, dismissed it. So these were all direct points. And I remember the surprise when I added on within a year and a half some more points to the Grand Floridian to bring us up to that Grand Floridian calibration. By that time, they were no longer selling Grand Floridian direct. It had sold out. So we had to pay that premium direct price. Oh, yeah. So in retrospect, on that first add-on, and I'm not done with my add-on-itis story, but at least with that first add-on at Grand Floridian, probably paid too much money for those add-on points.
Yeah, that tends to happen because the best advice that I've ever heard, and this came from a cast member at Grand Cal, and his name was Dave, and Dave said, buy as many points as you can reasonably afford. And when you're doing that direct, you really want to look at those incentive charts, because you could be looking at this going, maybe for a 2-bedroom at Grand Flow for a week, what are you talking, like 400 and some odd points? Let's say it was 425, but there's a break point there at 500, where it could be even cheaper to buy 500 than it could be 425. So you really got to look at those charts when you're buying direct, see where you get the best bang for your buck at, and always round up.
Yeah, always round up. I would agree with that advice. Always buy, well, as much as you can, keep your eye on those incentives. And I can recall at the time, of course, they're still there. They're still selling Alani. At the same time, they were selling Grand Floridian, they were selling Alani. And the actual direct point buy incentives when we bought our initial contract were only for Alani, as I recall, not for Grand Floridian. They were feeling the heat a little bit of the Alani sales. Yeah, from a total number of dollars paid perspective, I think a better deal could have been done definitely at the time by going resale. And that in retrospect would have been the better choice. If I had to do it today, I would have bought resale from the get-go. I finally got the resale education I sorely needed when we hit our next add-on-itis situation. And that was a trip we were taking in, I think it was June of 2018. And it was over Memorial Day. And it was one of these trips where my immediate family was staying in our own 2-bedroom, of course, because we're that large family. But my parents, we had invited to come with us, and we wanted to use our points for them. And then, over and above that, I discovered that a buddy of mine, we always go to all the Star Wars movie debuts together.
Okay.
And he's from a different state, and so we either travel to each other's houses. And as it would turn out, this was the year and over my planned vacation dates that I've already booked at Beach Club over Memorial Day with my parents. So that's a pristine booking that I couldn't give up. it coincided with the opening of Solo. So I'm like, okay, my buddy's a Disney fan too. We've got to put he and his wife up, you know, somewhere as well. So here I have this, not for the whole time, but for a subset of the time, so we can go to Solo opening, of course, at Disney World. And so this became a huge point grab at my pocketbook that I just didn't have. So I'm like, my wife and I have been thinking about adding on. I'm like, this is the time. So it was about November of that year or so before that May trip that I started searching the boards. And I, for Christmas, surprised her with a couple of add-on contracts at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And the reason I chose Animal Kingdom Lodge was I knew that was a resort at which we could really milk that 11-month booking window advantage for, say, just a couple trips where we wanted to get either a value room or I had my eye especially on, and we've talked about this before on our live show, those club rooms at Animal Kingdom. I was really looking at those, and I knew I needed an 11-month window. So that really is what brought my eyes to adding on resale at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And I think when we added on at the time, and this was just 2 years ago now, basically, I think we got those contracts at like $103 per point. So that was a pretty good, we could turn those over right now for more per point.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so it's a great investment. We've gotten lots of great trips since adding on at Animal Kingdom Lodge, a couple club level trips. It's been great.
My curiosity here, Sam.
Okay.
The whole I surprised my wife with a contract thing, because I've heard of that going on with some people. A, I would shoot my wife if she did that. I'm like, you don't spend thousands of dollars as a surprise. But how did that go down? Okay.
Right. I got shot. Not because she didn't love it. She did. But she was like, wow. She looked at me and said, how much did this cost? Where? And so I had rated the rainy day fund too much. But it all worked out. You do advise well, Chad, to tread with trepidation when doing that. But
because Animal Kingdom is my wife's favorite resort. So she'd probably forgive me for it very fast, but I would be getting raised eyebrows for a while.
Yeah, it was like a cycle of probably akin to the grief cycle. There's an initial thing, which actually high, not grief, but and then a down of, ooh, I'm mad. And then a back up to, I'm happy about it. So we went through those cycles and it's been great. And boy, I tell you what, I wish I had discovered resale prior. And yes, DVC resale market was the folks helping us out with that. And it was painless. I got Roford once. Ooh. My first offer. Yeah. Got Roford once. I think that Roford was like at 101 or 100. It actually might've been 99 or 98. I don't recall. Actually, I do think it was 99 or 98. But the second offer went through. It was two identical offers for two identical contracts. And they made it all easy, and we've been extremely happy. Like I said, I wish I'd heard about DVC resale market when we started this whole thing.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do here, is inform people of their choices. But I'm glad to hear somebody else has used them and was extremely happy with their services.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, did you and your wife talk about adding on before this, or did you just pick Animal Kingdom, or how did you end up at Animal Kingdom for the add-on?
So we had talked adding on, especially that first add-on at the Grand Floridian, where because we had done it before, we went direct on that. And with Disney, I guess you just call them up and you say, hey, we want so-and-so additional points. And at least the way they did add-ons at that time was, as those points became available, maybe contract by contract, they would give you your request, but not necessarily all at one time. So that first Grand Floridian add-on actually came in two additional contracts that summed to the total add-on ask value. So after having done that, we quickly got into a pattern of, as a family, vacationing, where we would take our whole family for our summer trip. And that was, we were locked into a week there. We were just so addicted to anything less than 7 days at Disney is not enough days.
No, it's not.
We quickly got into a pattern of not only doing that in the summer with the whole family, but my wife and I, with sometimes ourselves, sometimes with our two youngest kids, because we have a big range of ages, would take a fall trip, like around Food and Wine time, either just with ourselves and we would have babysitting for our youngest kids at home, or we'd take the youngest kids with us. So once that pattern was established of not just one, two bedroom a year somewhere, but also a deluxe studio or a one bedroom somewhere, we quickly together, even after that initial add-on, realized there was more appetite here. So that general more appetite conversation had been brewing prior to my Animal Kingdom Lodge 2 contract add-on. And so that's what kind of gave me permission in the back of my mind. I know my wife will love this. She might take a little work, but I know she'll end up loving it. And then the decision to go with Animal Kingdom Lodge was mostly based on the fact that I knew that the experience with our family that tipped us over towards buying DVC in the first place was our trip we've been saving for 5 years that we had. I'd had my eye on since a kid, which was staying at the Grand Floridian, which we stayed in 2 regular hotel rooms that Disney, at the, like a week before, bumped up to 2 club level rooms for a very minimum package charge, like literally $100 for both those rooms to be Grand Floridian standard room club. Ooh. Since I knew that club experience, that was the final hook, line, sinker that we said, we need to think DVC. I knew my wife loved that club experience. It was really that made me think of Animal Kingdom Lodge, because of course that is the only main, if you will, DVC in the books offering that you can get club at.
Yeah, club level rooms for points. They tried it over at Wilderness Lodge for a while and it really didn't work out, where you could do upgrades and pay cash for the upgrade, but it really just didn't work out as well as people being able to book and have a club level room.
Yeah, and it is expensive, and it's just that, and we take less trips, frankly. We take less trips. We're more likely to stay at, say, Bay Lake Tower or Beach Club or Animal Kingdom and try to get an Animal Kingdom club room than stretching them out at Old Key West.
Got it.
Or something like that. And so that, I knew that was her style. I knew that she loved that. I knew I could ask forgiveness, not permission, because of that pre-conversation and mutual agreement we had that there was appetite for more. And yeah, so I think that the Ion Club is what took me to look at Animal Kingdom Lodge for that.
That makes sense as well, because it sounds like you had a taste for club level. You wanted to stay at club level, and Animal Kingdom was the only thing that offered it. Once Honey's on board with club level and you're already in the, we're not going to be point stretchers, we want to go on to the nicer end of things. Really, that just falls into line and makes sense.
And really, that nicer end of things equation, in a sense, we're almost locked into it, because we're locked into a 2-bedroom villa. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be in 2 separate deluxe studios with our family. We want to be in a single unit. So we need to do a 2-bedroom. But let me just say this, any 2-bedroom in DVC, we've not been in a single one, and we can go through the resorts maybe we've stayed at, and it has not been all of them, but there's just not a bad 2-bedroom villa experience in the DVC collection. So you're always getting a great room.
Yeah, that's very true. Speaking of which, where all have you stayed?
Yeah, so let me run through this. So it's almost easier to do where we haven't stayed. We have not stayed, and apologies to you, Chad, because I know you are a big Crazy Clown fan.
Oh, yeah.
We have not stayed at Boardwalk, and I'll just speak to the Disney World resorts, and we've not stayed at Old Key West.
Okay. Big fan of that as well.
And we've not stayed at Copper Creek. I think we've hit every other DVC resort. So Grand Floridian, Polynesian, and not necessarily the whole family, but either myself, my wife, or some member of our family.
Okay.
Grand Floridian. Yeah. Bay Lake Tower, all the rest. So we've had a good experience across the gamut there at Disney World. And it's just the element of joy, not whether or not there's going to be joy when you walk into that room. You always have an initial room experience. When you're staying in a 2-bedroom villa, it's always positive.
Now, Sam, do you guys fly or drive when you go?
So we are from the Chicago area, and so we fly exclusively. We're a Southwest hub, so we get a Southwest flight early morning. Like, we're flying out of Chicago on a 6 a.m. flight, say, waking up at before 4 a.m. with the goal being of getting there early, and our template, if you will, is to go to Magic Kingdom that first day to get into that park by 11 a.m. or so and get a full day at the park as we can, just to stretch out that vacation. So we're definitely flyers on Southwest, and that's been a good value for us. And we like that airline as well.
I would be a total Southwest fan if I lived in a hub city.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
yeah. They're direct flights. At the time we're recording this, COVID is a major issue, and I've flown them recently during the COVID era, and they're good on the safety measures, spreading people out, not packing that plane sardine style, like I think you've experienced, Chad.
Oh, man. Spirit was horrendous.
Yeah.
Horrendous.
Yeah. We really like them. Plus 2 bags free every flight. Hey, I don't mean to be a Southwest commercial. I'll just say that we really do like the airline.
Oh, trust me. I would be all over it if I could. Over it. Now, when you guys go, do you rent a car or do you do Magical Express?
Magical Express almost exclusively. The most recent trip we took in the last couple weeks, actually just returned, is the first time I've driven a rental car at Disney probably in several years. And it was a good experience. I chose to rent only because I knew that Magical Express was going a little bit slower now, at least the delay between trips out of MCO, plus maybe a little bit of irregularity in the on-location two-park bus service from the resorts. Yeah,
it makes sense during COVID to just suck it up and rent.
Yeah, and the car rentals were so inexpensive right now. Literally, you could get an off-MCO car that is take the shuttle to the car rental mm-hmm. as opposed to the car rental station being in the airport. Those off-airport car rental places were literally renting cars for $7 a day.
Anything to just get them out of there and have you pay the taxes and the plates on them and the insurance and all that other kind of fun stuff. They've got a sea of cars there. So anything to just take one, okay?
Right. And it's good DVC benefits. We were traveling with, actually, I was traveling with a couple friend, and they are not DVC, and hadn't had a lot of experience actually staying on location. And a great DVC benefit is, well, at least you're staying on your DVC points, is first of all, no parking prices at the hotel, but also no parking in the parks themselves. So that was something they were amazed at, was that it's no parking fees in mm-hmm. the parks themselves. That was something they were amazed at. They were normally staying off property and paying $25 to $30 a day minimum every day to go to a theme park. So the fact that we're saving with DVC over $50 a day easily just on parking was impressive to them.
And the fact that you normally take Magical Express really explains why you haven't tried Oki West yet. Because that's a resort you really are going to want a car at. At least I find so. I know a lot of people agree with me there. Not everybody, but it's really nice being able to come back and park right outside your room at Oki West. That you have to love there.
Yes. And it's funny you mentioned that, because the one previous trip I had a car rental at was when we stayed at Saratoga, just my wife and I. Maybe Saratoga is in the same boat as Old Key West as far as pays to have a rental car there, just get quick access to those parks.
It certainly does. Sam, do you guys normally have breakfast in the room? Do you cook in the DVC rooms? How do you guys handle food?
We are not normally cook in the rooms people. We definitely are villa folks. And it's been said, once you take that jump from deluxe studio to one bedroom, it's just hard to ever go back. And unfortunately, we took that jump early. So we just like the extra space. Whether or not we use that kitchen, if you're with a family of any size, if you have 3, 4, or in most cases 5, having that extra space is
what's a game changer.
It just feels so different.
And then you've got some place for your leftovers, some place to water cold or whatever else. You've got all the kitchen amenities.
And yeah.
I would find it hard to believe that somebody could stay there for a week and not use the kitchen amenities whatsoever.
Right. We do use the kitchen for breakfast. So we'll go and purchase the cereal for the kids and frozen waffles and the water. And yes, we'll load that refrigerator up and load the pantry up with mostly breakfast food. And that's our main use of the kitchen. A lot of times we'll use it for a microwave pizza as well. But sometimes we'll get use out of that oven and stove. But it's nice to have it there, and it's nice to have the extra seating in the villas. They usually have kitchen, like bar seating. That can come in really handy in the morning, in addition to the tables they have there in the villas. So really love those kitchens in the villas, and also love the washer and dryer in the kitchens. Like, we make massive use of that for these week-long trips in the summer where we're getting all sweaty in the parks during the day. Those washer and dryers are just a lifesaver for clothing management.
Oh, no kidding. And we typically go in summer, and you walk outside, you instantly start to sweat. There's just no questions to it. So far, I've heard you guys stay in studios and bedrooms. Have you tried a one bedroom or a grand villa?
Yes, we have done those one bedrooms. Usually we will do a one bedroom when we go to those fall trips. So we'll have that big summer trip with the whole family in a two bedroom. And then my wife and I and a subset of the kids in our elementary school kids can usually take a fall trip. And that's when we really like those one bedrooms. So yeah, we definitely have tried out the one bedrooms. I do have my eye on those grand villas. Definitely want to test those out and put those on my bucket list. I think the one I actually have the most hankering for are those Bay Lake Tower theme park view, bi-level grand villas. They are just amazing. They're all window with that view. That's like my dream grand villa stay.
I'm right there with you.
I haven't had the opportunity to do it yet. Not yet, but would love to.
If I was you, I would be drooling over one of the Grand Flow grand villas as well. Those things are amazing. Got a whole media room in there.
Yeah, I've seen those. They are on the list too. Now, the real problem is my wife is, she's pointed out on the point charts, it's normally the case, possibly with the exception of Old Key West, I'm not sure. Two bedrooms are actually cheaper normally than one grand villa, I think, on the point charts. And I think she, if we're going with that many people, that means another family is going to be involved. And it's fences make the best neighbors in that sense. Like maybe two bedrooms might actually work out better than a grand villa.
Yeah, I think in order to pull one of those off, you can't be looking at the point per person. You just have to come back into it and say, we're going to hit this opulent level of grand villa and go with your party of 8 or 9 even, just to come back in and have the extra elbow room and the really deluxe accommodations.
I'm with you. I would love to do that. I've seen, I think we actually did a walkthrough at the Grand Villa at the Grand Floridian when we first bought. And we definitely did a walkthrough at Bay Lake Tower, the Grand Villa. And it is definitely on my bucket list for the reason you mentioned, Chad. It's, yeah, we might be able to more economically stack the same number of people or more in other living arrangements. But just that feeling of we own half the floor of this building, which most of those Grand Villas are, right? Yeah. And they're just so spacious. And I like your word opulent to describe them. Definitely would like to do that, but have not had the opportunity yet.
So, Sam, what else is on your bucket list?
On the bucket list? So, actually, this year, we were going to cross off one of those bucket list items. And that was a single trip, carling a stay at the Grand Californian in Disneyland with Alani. So, we had a 3-night stay in a 2-bedroom at the Grand Californian, followed by a 8-night stay at Alani in a 2-bedroom ocean view, and COVID ended that. So definitely on the bucket list is a similar trip in the future if our family schedule allows it. It's unfortunate because the stars for our family schedule had aligned this year very well to have all of us, all 7 of us, our kids ages like 25 down to 9, we're going to be able to take that trip together. So hopefully we'll be able to do that this year.
I'm hoping. Like I am like 8-9 weeks out from starting to book the MyDVC Points community meetup in Alani.
Yeah, we would hopefully be able to join you for that overlap in June of this year. We'll see when that comes out because that would be on our list for this June as well.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that we can still pull that off. If we can't, I'm tempted to like pull off the 3-bedroom Bay Lake. I don't want to pull that off if there's no fireworks. You know what I'm saying? I'm like,
oh, absolutely.
It's just, what do you do when you've been saving for these massive bucket list vacations and you got the points built up for them, but yet it's still going to be somewhat disappointing. So I think we'll probably try to, if we can, knock off an Old Key West Grand Villa off the list because those are just cool and big. And even if it's just the 8 or 9 of us, I don't care. I want to knock off a Grand Villa there.
That would be great. From having canceled our 2020 Grand Californian plus Alani trip, I have a lot of points that got pushed into the 2020 use year, actually. So we're December use year. So that 2020 trip was actually the 2019 use year for us. I've got a lot of points now stacked up into 2020. So some big trip is coming for us in 2020. I look forward to how we can book that.
Yeah,
hopefully there's lots of opportunities.
I think we're going to be having a lot of those conversations in the MyDVC Points community group here of what would you do if you have enough points to come back in and blow that out?
Yes.
And I still don't want to do bungalows without fireworks. Okay. I can pull off cabins, no problem. But I'm looking at this going, I'd start knocking out grand villas some places. And if you could get into the beach cottages over at Vero, that'd be a great use of extra points. But there's only 6 of those and they're really hard to get.
I'm not sure how fast the Old Key West Grand Villas go, but I hear they're the most economical Grand Villas in the park. So that might be a good choice for my family.
At 7 months, they're gone. Like 7 months and 7 months in a few minutes. They typically go pretty darn fast because they are the cheapest Grand Villa that's out there.
Yeah. 2020 is going to be a big DVC travel year for lots of folks. Yeah, I agree.
Grand Villa at Boardwalk still on my list as well, because those things just look amazing. Again, I'd love to be able to watch the Epcot firework views from their Grand Villas, but it is what it is. I would be leaning towards Grand Villas that don't require a specific view, which hopefully in November, I'm a little bit over 5-6 weeks from knocking out a Kidani Grand Villa. And then I'd have to do Jumbo because that would be animal views, and they should be good in COVID no matter what. I haven't heard of the animals getting pulled in due to COVID.
Those would be still available. Agreed. Yeah. Anything aligned to fireworks or view of fireworks is questionable at this point.
Let's do some of our rapid fire questions.
Sure.
Do you wear ears or rock a t-shirt?
I rock both a t-shirt and a Disney cap of some type.
Mickey pretzel or churro?
Mickey pretzel.
Mickey bar or Dole Whip?
Mickey ice cream sandwich.
No love for the bar, but you're going for the sandwich.
Yeah, I like the bar, but I, to be truthful, I'm a sandwich guy first.
I like their sandwiches a little bit better myself. It's the cookies and cream on the inside that pulls me over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just generally easier to eat that in the wrapper and then bite off some than to have to hold the stick and then it starts dripping down your hand and...
Yeah, I think you need to change your question, Chad, to put all three choices in for everyone.
Okay.
Because I think we're a silent majority, the Mickey ice cream sandwich folk.
You know, I just might end up doing that as well so that we can come back in. Because the first one is, how do you like your bread carbs? And then the next one is, how do you like your frozen carbs? Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Favorite attraction?
Rock and Roller Coaster. There's a lot tied for second place. There's just so many good rides, but on a full gut check, yeah, I just love that shootout. And I love the build up to it with Aerosmith and the music. So Rock and Roller Coaster.
You got to love that. The ride's starting to show its age a little bit, but Aerosmith is a classic rock band. I don't see them going away anytime soon.
Yeah.
What's your favorite land?
Favorite land is actually, and I know this might be a weird one, but I'm going to give you two answers here. But one is Liberty Square. And Liberty Square, for me, what takes it over the top is I like the theming. I like the colonial theming. But Haunted Mansion being right there, Haunted Mansion is in that list of runner-ups for favorite ride. Just love Haunted Mansion. And also, and I had this on my most recent trip, hadn't been on it for a while, I just love the Hall of Presidents. And I'm not sure if they've upped that as far as like the presentation, but all that together makes me say Liberty Square for favorite land. But the, having said that, I'm also going to plug for the Mexico Pavilion at Epcot. And why I say Mexico, and I'm not sure if we qualified as a land versus World Showcase, but I'm going to call Mexico a land for the purposes of this question.
Okay, fair enough.
Just because I love coming out of we travel in summer, normally as a family, hot, humid Florida summer into this cool nighttime Mexico experience where you have the waterway running through there and the mountain scene and the restaurant. Not to mention La Cava del Tequila sitting right there as well. So Mexico as well is a favorite land.
Hey, man, I'm the guy who's starting the petition that La Cava should be a tier one fast pass at Epcot. Okay.
Right. I believe it.
Where's your favorite place on property to have a drink or a dessert?
So for dessert, I'm going to say Plaza Ice Cream Parlor there on Main Street.
Ooh, good choice.
Which I love to get the sundaes there. That's usually my sign-off snack from Disney World for our trips is last day of Magic Kingdom, last snack that Sunday. I was horrified to find that it is closed during the COVID era. So hopefully that will be opening up soon. For drink, that is a very hard question. So it's almost a tie for me between Victoria Falls at Animal Kingdom Lodge, which is top notch. And I just mentioned it, La Cava del Tequila, right? Those are, I'd say tied for me for number one for a place for a drink. But then I have two runners up for this question, and that's Top of the World Lounge and Nomad Lounge there in Animal Kingdom.
Excellent choices all the way around. Can't say enough great things about Nomad Lounge, and Top is just home. It's just plain old flat out home for us.
I think it's the most magical membership benefit there is, Top of the World Lounge. Just to be able to go up there anytime other than special closing times with your DVC membership, get a view of Magic Kingdom, get a view of the fireworks. Yeah, and then Nomad's Lounge. There's nothing like a nice respite from the Animal Kingdom heat of the day and just to be able to walk in there and have a cool drink in the day. Yeah, Nomad's Lounge, fantastic.
Yeah, I have to say, I've been there once or twice and I liked it, but it didn't rank for me. Okay. But I do know a lot of people mention Victoria Falls.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's I'm used to just going downstairs to Boma, or if it's the fact that it's loud because it's overlooking Boma, or I don't know what it is, but it's not ranking for me, and I hadn't figured out why yet. It's a great place.
Yeah, the special thing for me is I feel like I'm not in a closed-in space. Not like I'm claustrophobic or anything. I just appreciate the open-air feel to it, and just the beauty of the space itself is just draws me in. So I think that combination, plus being able to partake while you're sitting there enjoying the lounge, feeling like you can partake in the whole atmosphere of that magnificent Animal Kingdom lobby, not ever having left that to enjoy the lounge. I think that's part of the experience and why it ranks topmost for me.
Our Patreon VIP Producers Club has a question that they've had me ask everybody we interview. They want to know, how do you maximize the value from your DVC points?
I think that's a great question. For me, given that we are a large family and therefore usually are finding ourselves in two bedrooms, I think there's a special situation makes it much more attractive to go resale market. The reason I say that is if you're traveling in summer or a similar, not as crowded, you're not going at Christmas time, you're not going during Easter weekend, Thanksgiving. What our experience has been is those two bedrooms are available at the 7-month window. Therefore, it's not as important to own where you want to stay. And that means if you can look on the DVC resale market and find a lower price contract and really take advantage of those extra points you can afford. Yes, maybe sometimes at the 7-month mark, the standard view lowest cost room might not be available. But given the additional number of extra points that you were able to afford by going DVC resale, doesn't make a difference. Frankly, you'll end up spending less money, even though you're staying perhaps in a preferred view room at the 7-month mark, than if you had bought certainly the same number of points at a much greater price or less number of points even at a greater price direct. So I think my tip is, if you find yourself as a family, we expect to use lower demand rooms, and that's our case with the two bedrooms. Resale could be more attractive to you. It's, in retrospect, over all of our purchases, Chad, I would say we would have gone 100% with this hindsight resale. So I think that would be my big tip is, if you are like us and have your situation might be different, but if it aligns to we're not needing a high demand room, take a look at resale to get some extra points and value.
Yeah, not only is resale a great option for you, resale will get you a cheaper cost per point, and then that'll allow you to come back in and buy some of the more economical resorts like Saratoga or Poly to get the absolute lowest cost per point to come in. But I think you mentioned something else there as well. When you look at the point charts, being a two-bedroom family, you get a lot more bang for your buck in a two-bedroom. Because a studio I look at is like its base points. And then to go to a one bedroom, you have to double the point. But to go to a two bedroom is only 2.5 times the studio rate. So you get a lot more bang for your buck there when you're going just into the two bedroom as well.
Absolutely. And I don't want to pretend in any means that our situation is everyone's situation, but that's proven true for us. And something else I'll say is I've kept track of rack rates for every room we've stayed in. And these two bedrooms at these deluxe resorts, I would never pay I couldn't afford to pay the cash value for these rooms that we're staying in. DVC points have made that possible. And after 5 years, if we had taken our summer trip to Disneyland and Alani, coupled with the forthcoming Christmas trip, this would have been our simple cash value break-even year on the total value paid for our contracts versus the rack rate of the rooms that we've stayed in up to this point. And foremost in that equation, evening out for us, was the fact that these two-bedroom villas are much more economical with points than they are if you were paying cash for them.
So oh, absolutely.
Here we are breaking even in 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can go to the MyDVC Points app and just start calculating out some stays. And we look at an estimated rack rate for those rooms. And it's based off things that Disney has published, but they don't have the 2021 calculations out there. So we have to use 2020 rates when we calculate it. But It is. And then going to Alani is by far the best value out there comparative to rack rate.
So we have really enjoyed that as a two-bedroom family.
And not to mention here, Sam, as well, you said you've gotten break-even ROI. If you were to just all of a sudden sell your contracts today, you would have more cash back into your pocket, and it really would have made the cost of ownership go down to next to nothing.
If I thought 2 nanoseconds about that, Chad, it would be 1 nanosecond too long, in the sense of if we sold all, and we don't intend to whatsoever, but looking at the resale market, if we sold our contracts back today, I would have more money in pocket, at least in a non-discounted fashion, from a straight cash value, more money in pocket than I paid for those contracts.
That's the insane part about DVC. Once my cheap financial brain got a hold of that, it was like, okay, I'm in.
Right.
It took a while. Yeah. Okay. It really took a while. But
the
Riviera right now is, we don't know what's going to happen to those resale contracts. We don't know that you're going to be able to hold them for X amount of years and be able to sell them for more than what you paid for them just due to the new restrictions. It's still up in the air on those.
Right. And I think the underlying assumption, and it's not the underlying truth, not assumption behind that hold the value statement of these contracts, is really if you would buy DVC if it's true that you enjoy, frankly, going to one of these Disney World resorts. If that's what you want, if that's your jam, and you want to do that regularly, not sporadically, then that's how these contracts hold their value, because a lot of people want to do that and continue to want to do that. And it's a value proposition that, unlike my car, doesn't lose value year to year, actually maintains precisely, if not gains value, as they make those parks even more attractive every year. So I think that's the foundation of these contracts holding their value, is the locations in which these resorts are located, whether it be Disney World or Alani or Disneyland. And so that's the guarantee we have as DVC owners. That value and the fact that people love those places isn't going away. Therefore, the value of my contract is not going away.
Yeah, and as well, my buddy Brian Flock from DCL Podcast, when I interviewed him, he made the case of, Chad, I was staying in a deluxe resort anyways, so if I broke even in 5 years and I get nothing for my contract, I at least broke even. And if I do get something out of it when I get ready to leave after I've gotten my rack rate value out of it, that's just gravy. So I can see the point both ways.
Yep.
Sam, what all has changed in the way you've done Disney since becoming a DVC member?
So we go more often. We switched from a go to Disney every maybe 4 years family to going to Disney every year, either as a whole family or as a subset of our family, at least once. That would be the main thing. The fact that we know we will be going back, and this has been said before, of course, it lets you almost enjoy Disney more. I recently enjoyed a trip with family friends down to Disney World, and they're not DVC members, and they're on the 2020 pay per day ticket plan that you have to go through. So they've already spent $120 per day to go to park. So they feel the pressure of being there from 9 a.m. to close. I didn't feel that pressure, and I was able to go and enjoy the park for half a day and finish it. And then annual pass holder, DVC owner, knowing that I'm coming back, able to return to the hotel and enjoy the magnificent pool of the Contemporary for half of the 95-degree day. So that was fantastic. I think another thing we as a family have really been able to experience more as DVC owners, as we frequented the parks more, is just to be able to enjoy the special, if you will, care, attention that Disney pays in their parks to folks with special needs. So we have a special needs child. And the fact that Disney is welcoming and with the DAS, Disability Access Service, that they offer, just being able to experience that more as a family has really increased our love for Disney and just kept us coming back even more, I think, knowing how welcoming they are and experiencing that welcome.
Yeah, we love the cast members on this show. Can't say enough great things about them. Sam, do you have a Disney story that will make us laugh or cry?
I do. I've got a couple. I think it's really one story, and it's around the Bippity Boppity Boutique, which I had never heard about, and my wife knew about it. And of course, they have at least two of these. The one we went to that we experienced was the one in Cinderella's Castle, and there's another one, I think, in the Grand Floridian. But I can recall when my two oldest daughters were of Bippity Boppity Boutique age, sending them there. And of course, what this experience is, they have the fairy godmother helpers turn your
daughter. They're beauticians, right? They're,
yeah,
they're called fairy godmothers, but they're really beauticians, right?
Yes, they're really trained beauticians. You know, take your child and make her into a princess. Like, and you can get the whole gown, and they do the hair and the crown and everything. And after the beautician is making up your daughter, there's this big reveal at the end that the child, your daughter, is not facing the mirror the whole time. It's just the beautician doing with hand mirror. And after the beautician finishes and turns your daughter around to see themselves in the mirror, of course, this is Disney, so they have a PhotoPass photographer waiting right there to snap a picture to sell to you, of course, because this is Disney. But it's called the big reveal. And just to see my daughter's faces just light up when they have become a princess, it's just so magical to me, because I think every girl should think of herself as a princess, and Disney does it right before your eyes. And as my daughter's just walking out of the Bippity Boppity Boutique, it literally brought tears to my eyes seeing them dolled up like that. My mind immediately raced to 15 years in the future when they're walking down the aisle, not in a princess gown, but in their wedding gown. So I recommend everyone who, you know, can do that to try to have that experience. But that was definitely a highlight for me as a dad with my little girls.
Yeah, as a dad as well, that's some of my favorite memories as well. You kind of got me crying, so.
Yeah.
Love that time with my girls. I remember when my oldest threw a fit because she was turning 12 and aging out of Bippity Boppity. And it was, we had just become DVC members. She said, "We have to go now because I can't go next year."
And then we did it again with my youngest daughter. So I've got three daughters. And by that time, we had learned definitively, go with the whole package. Get the whole dress, get everything you can get. And again, it's just absolutely magical. And the family movies you take as they come out, those will never go away of your daughter the day she became a princess. And for the whole day now, parades, character meets, people are like the characters and cast members, like I can recall in the parade, like Captain Hook did a bow, tipped his hat to my daughter, and Tinkerbell was waving to her and saying, "Hi, Princess Aurora, how are you?" It was just fantastic. Yeah. A lot of fantastic memories there.
The cheapskate in me also wants to point out, you can get a Halloween dress after Halloween from one of the Disney princess costumes and bring it with you. You can get a closeout dress cheap. My wife has them. She buys them after Halloween for dress up play dresses because she gets them so cheap. That's a couple of ways to save a few bucks on that.
That is a good tip.
So speaking of Tinkerbell, if she were to put 2,000 magical one-time use points into your account that you could book anything in the DVC system with guaranteed availability, Sam, how would you spend those points?
Oh, Chad, I actually gave this some thought. I gave the Tinkerbell question some thought, and I did some calculations. And what I found was, if I had 2,000 one-time use points, I could take my family of seven, spend the month of December 31 nights in a two-bedroom lock-off club-level room at Animal Kingdom Lodge, and have 25 points to spare. I'm not sure if that'd be practical from a family scheduling standpoint, but as far as magical experiences, a month at the Animal Kingdom two-bedroom club level would be great, especially because in my family of seven, five of us have December birthdays. So that would be a December well spent in celebration. And option two would be my wife and I think taking, just using those points, maybe it's not the most economical use, but just using those points and doing an Adventures by Disney, the Grand Europe tour. And that would pretty much expend them. I might need a few extra points, but that's a 9-night, 10-day tour across Europe. So either one of those options would be very welcome from Tinkerbell.
I'm telling you, I've never thought of the whole month in a club level room. That's the first time I've thought of that one. And you're the first person who's mentioned it, but sounds like a great use of 2,000 points to me.
You're fed for a month, and you're at Disney for a month. Combine that with some, in the month of December, some platinum passes, and that's a deal. That's 31 days of Disney. I think that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, they'd have to roll me out of there, man. Because
that could get dangerous pretty quick. I think, like I've said before, in that club level, the breakfast mimosas can be very dangerous.
Oh, I get it. So anyways, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the show today, Sam. How can listeners get in touch with you if they want to follow up with you after the show?
Just find me on the My DVC Points community on Facebook. I'm lingering around there all the time.
Thanks so much, Sham.
Thank you, Chad. Good to be with you.
I'd like to thank DVC Rental Store, DVC Resale Market, and Monera Financial for sponsoring Season 5 of the My DVC Points podcast. We have some incredible partners, and I really hope you take them up on some of their awesome services that they provide for you. Speaking of which, Andy Berry from DVC Resale Market will be joining us on the next episode to go over a monthly recap report for what's been going on in the DVC resale market for the month of December 2020. I'd also like to do a shout out to some new Patreons that joined our program in November and December of 2020. Thank you very much to Natalie Gerber, Heather, Chad Swindoll, the Brissett family, Amy Meeker Taylor, Christine Mack, and Frederica Gross. Tomorrow morning, I'm headed down to Hilton Head to go do some research for our resort wiki and to come back and research a little bit for a Hilton Head review series. While I can handle the 6 points a night for a studio in January out of our family funds, I really couldn't justify flying to Hilton Head, getting a car for a week, and spending time down there researching things just to create a podcast without the support of our sponsors and our Patreons. So thank you all very, very, very much. If you happen to be a Discord user, I'd love to have you join our Discord community at discord.mydvcpoints.com. Discord really tightly integrates with Patreon, so if you are a Patreon member, please come back in and update a Discord profile with your Patreon membership. After our Community Hall live show and Mouse Quiz, we host an after party on Discord where we get to hang out and have a two-way conversation. We'd love to have you come back in and join us in that Patreon-only channel. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Hopefully you found something in today's episode that'll help you go out there and plan something magical for your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.